in this very town there was once a cafe. And this old boarded up house wasn't like any other place for many miles around. There were tables with cloths and paper napkins, colored streamers from the electric fans, great gatherings on Saturday nights. The owner of the place was Miss Amelia Evans. But the person most responsible for the success and gaiety of the place was a hunchback called Cousin Lymon. One other person had a part in the story of this cafe. He was the former husband of Miss Amelia, a terrible character who returned to the town after a long term in the penitentiary, caused ruin, and then went on his way again. The cafe has long since been closed, but it is still remembered. This is the third paragraph of The Ballad of the Sad Cafe by Carson McCullers, the book we're going to discuss on Wednesday. And in the fashion of folk or children's tales, the story tells us at the very beginning that the end is going to be a bad one. We already know the end before we begin to read the story. However, we continue and read the story. And the feeling one has is always the feeling of being told a myth or an old story or, yeah, something between myth and folklore. Well, when Carson McCullers was only 23 years old, he wrote her first novel, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. Look, this is one of my favorite titles ever. The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. And the book was a sensation. She became very popular and she was read everywhere. And, well, she's a very interesting author that offers us a vision of existence as terrible as it is real. In her stories, she takes us on shattering voyages into the profound isolation that underlies the human condition. This happens in The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, a novel that I really recommend. But for this Midsummer's book club, I chose The Ballad of the Sad Cafe because it was easy to read, 60, 70 pages long. And yeah, we were in the mood for this kind of summer readings. The context of the novel could be labeled, I don't like labels very much, but this applies well, I think. Could be labeled as the Southern Gothic. The Southern Gothic is this label we apply to the vision of the pastoral agrarian South of the United States, which is a mixture of historical reality, of massive repression, slavery, racism, patriarchy. Well, Southern Gothic texts, if we were to see them like through the Freudian lens, would tell us a lot about the repressed. The region's historical realities take concrete forms in the shape of ghosts that highlight all that has been unsaid, all that has been repressed in the official version of history, right? And this is what we have a bit in the ballad. Because of its dark and controversial subject matters, literary scholars and critics initially sought to discredit the Gothic on a wide level, on a national level, right? Edgar Allan Poe, born as soon as 1809, became the first Southern Gothic writer to fully explore the genre's potential. everybody knows Edgar Allan Poe, right? Many of his best-known poems and short stories would not be placed under this label, Southern Gothic, but they display all the elements that would come to characterize Southern Gothic. So, since I don't like labels, but I am using them anyway, I think Allan Poe would be like the opener. And while Poe is kind of foundational to this label, there are other authors. For example, William Faulkner, born 1897. He could also his fictional characters, his fictional counties, and yeah, his fiction could be also placed under this label. Yeah, there are like all these elements of social, racial, and economic ruptures among the people that people these novels, the novels by William Faulkner. And well, if we were to continue like mentioning Southern Gothic authors or potentially included authors, we could also mention Tennessee Williams, Flannery O'Connor, and maybe also Zora Neale Hurston and Richard Wright, although these are generally considered African-American writers, but I don't see a reason why we couldn't consider a writer like to belong to two different labels. Well, a little bit about Carson McCullers. As I said before, she wrote very early on her life, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. And this novel is like, well, is a very important novel in the history of, in the literary history of the 20th century. It has been filmed more than once, I think. And it is about characters that suffer loneliness and who live really isolated. The main character in The Heart is a Lonely Hunter is death. So this already isolates him from the rest. And well, the novel concerns four inhabitants of a small town in Georgia, a teenager, a girl, with a passion to study music, which this is autobiographical because Carson McCullers really wanted to study music before he became a writer. Then we have an unsuccessful socialist agitator. And there, in The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, McCullers kind of writes an essay on politics. And it's interesting because although it is a novel and you are not maybe in the mood for theory when reading a novel, she mixes the theory and the fiction in an interesting way. Then in The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, and we also have a black physician struggling to maintain his personal dignity, and a widower who owns a cafe. So we have also this woman owning a cafe. Well, in this case, no, in The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, it was not a woman, but well, it's something that both works share. We are told, now I'm turning to the ballad of the sad cafe, right? We are told that the cafe was unlike any other place for many miles around. It's interesting that the story is presented from the view of the townspeople. And the narrative voice is very interesting because there comes a time where you think that someone is spying Amelia, is getting into the house and describing the house and describing what happens inside the house. with the eyes of someone who should be outside. So yeah, the narrative voice is something to be discussed. But above all the rest, above every other element, the Ballad of the Sad Cafe is a story about love. And well, now some words that I read at the beginning of a novel by Julian Barnes, The Only Story, come to my mind, because there Julian Barnes asks the reader before starting the novel, if you were given the choice to love more and suffer more, or to love less and suffer less, what would you choose? And here, in The Ballad of the Sad Cafe, Carson McCullers seems to ask the reader, if you were given the choice to be the lover or the beloved, what would you choose? Actually, on page 33 of the ballad, there is a whole dissertation on what is love, what is to be the lover, and what is to be the beloved. And well, it's interesting, yeah. The ballad is a work that best represents McCullers' fictional art. In this novella, the author portrays sexual ambivalence, longing for communication, the human need for love, the fact that love can heal and can make someone make someone better, make someone improve. This is what happens to Macy, the man who marries Miss Amelia. Well, marries Miss Amelia and is left after 10 days. But well, we are told that he was a very evil person and love changed him completely. The novel is also, well, it's mainly about love, but there are many elements of ambivalence in terms of gender. Miss Amelia is described as a very tall, extraordinarily tall woman, very strong, very masculine in a way. And at the same time, she, when she doctors, when she acts as a physician, she can treat anyone except for female pain, female sickness. There is something, there is a kind of trauma that we cannot see developed in the novella, but it is there. There is also this element that we can find in many of McCullers' works, which is the bizarre, odd characters. There is a hunchback, there is a kind of very masculine female protagonist, and all these strange characters are symbols for something. Well, this and much more we will be discussing on Wednesday. I think I will leave it here, and we'll see each other the day after tomorrow. Thank you for listening.